Be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. This is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, in case you're counting. In the past few Sundays, we have explored what is being or might be being invited during this time of showing, Epiphany, or shining forth. We have been invited to see, and to see at a deeper level. And we have asked for the grace to see beyond what might block our vision, our preconceptions, our expectations, our prejudgments, or prejudices, our being on the wrong trajectory, to see so that we are able to see the Holy One shining forth in the Christ and in the shimmering or disruptive intrusions of the Spirit that are around us. Today we will look at what may be being invited in two of our readings. Where are we to look is the question. Where are we to look to find the shimmerings of divine presence? Well, that incredible passage from Isaiah, that poetry of Isaiah, offers something of a litany of the wondrous attributes of God. It is cosmic in its scope and universal in its significance. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is bigger and stronger and more impossible to comprehend than you or I can possibly imagine. It's really big. But the beauty of the poetry goes beyond our ability to see, because it describes this in words, what we would call ineffable, which means not able to be described in words. And yet there are other ways too that we can come to this vision besides the incredible poetry of pieces like this in Isaiah and the poetry of Genesis. There's an incredible vision that is offered to us in the science of cosmology. Cosmology being that study of the beginnings of everything. I would commend to you a book by the author Judy Cannato. She's spelled C-A-N-N-A-T-O. Judy Cannato died a couple of years ago, but she wrote this incredible book called Radical Amazement: Contemplative Lessons from Black Holes, Supernovas, and Other Wonders of the Universe. That's one heck of a title. And it's one heck of a book. And that she invites us to comprehend as much as we are able this magnificent magnitude of what is before us. She quotes from a cosmologist named Brian Swim, and she says, who writes, cosmology, the study of all of the story of creation, when it is alive and healthy in a culture, evokes in the human a deep zest for life, a zest that is satisfying and revivifying, for it provides the psychic energy necessary to begin each day with joy. Just trying to understand and deal with the whole of the creation. This new cosmology, as Judy Cannato writes, is the story that tells how our universe has developed and reveals our unique place in it. It is truly and radically amazing. And rather than being contradictory, it affirms and resonates with the heart of the mysticism of Christian spirituality. A couple of pieces from that to just awaken us to this vast expanse of space, as we say in one of our prayers. All creation has come about. This is one of Judy's notations. All creation has come about through a single cosmic event, often called the... Well, that was a kind of a whimpery bang, but it was pretty good. The Big Bang, you're right. Creation is not a static, fixed event, but a cosmogenesis, an ongoing act of creation and creativity, because all life is part of this single cosmic event. All life is connected at its most basic level. All life is made up of the very stars of existence from the very beginning. And one of the other pieces she writes is that the universe is expanding at an accelerating rate. The language of some scientists engaged in the new cosmology often sounds like the language of the mystics, who acknowledge that our lives are rooted in mystery. And on the level of mystery, we all are one. The universe continues to expand in a mysterious way. That huge, amazing, incredible picture. Our second look for the shimmerings of divine presence comes in our gospel reading of the day. Now, by contrast, Mark's focus, particularly in this beginning of this passage, seems nearly minuscule. If Isaiah paints the story of God's nature and work on the largest of canvases, Mark instead, at the beginning of this chapter, focuses on a single, simple detail, this passage. Mark tells the story of a healing of a woman, unnamed except that she is identified as Peter's mother-in-law. The story is more intimate and more private. And you may even wonder why Mark tells it. It's like something that Jesus passed through this house. Somebody told him his mother-in-law was ill, and we get this intimacy of, you can even imagine it and see it, that he stops. They bring her to him. He touches her and heals her, and she gets up and she goes about her ministry of serving. I realize that this passage has been a frustration for many of us, because it has functioned over the centuries to reinforce the notion that the women's role is not to lead, but to serve. But let's look at this as Mark sees it and see that it's way more than that. In fact, it's not that. Consider a little later in the story of this gospel, after James and John have asked Jesus to put them in places of honor and authority. which really ticks off the rest of the apostles. And Jesus offers this for them. He says, in part, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. When this woman serves after she is healed, she is neither being dismissed as somehow inferior to those she serves, nor is she constrained to a minor role. Rather, Jesus has healed her, given her back her vocation, which is ultimately at the core of discipleship: to be a servant. So where do we look to trace the action of God who sits in that cosmology of so long ago, who sits above the circles of the earth and stretches out the heavens like a curtain? We find it by looking closer to the everyday acts of service, care, and sacrifice that occur all around us all of the time. I've shared with you before about how we might deal with our distractions. So when I tell you that I had a shimmering occurrence in a distraction, I hope you'll see that, first of all, forgive me, and second of all, it can happen anywhere. But it was on Facebook. Yeah, I went there. And I'm okay with that. It was Friday night. I was working on this homily, and I was struggling. And I understood the nature of this, and I was trying to think of, well, what can I say that might bring this more at home? And so on Facebook, I have a lot of friends from a lot of different places. I here now in Illinois have a lot of friends from my wife's community of Disciples of Christ. And one of those friends is the pastor of a very small church called Parkway Gardens. Parkway Gardens Christian Church. They have 25 people at best. They are a community struggling. It's a community of color. It's a community in a place that's not in what we would call a good place to live, except that that's where they live and that's where their life is. And for them, it is good. And there's a picture of the pastor there. And the picture is him kneeling next to two pop-up tents, two sleeping bags, and two backpacks. And he writes on this picture, he says, our first shipment of single-man tents, sleeping bags, and backpacks arrived early but right on time. It's supposed to be below zero this weekend. We will distribute them on Lower Wacker Drive tomorrow morning. Thanks be to God. This community of 25 or so went out yesterday with these tents and these sleeping bags and these backpacks under Wacker Drive, where a lot of homeless and desperate people are, and they provided they provided these incredible gifts. They're in such a way that they even had a GoFundMe for that drive. They want $6,000. They're at $1,300 right now. But in spite of that, they had the money to do this and the will to do it. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? The Lord God Almighty is at work in you, with you, and through you to care for the people and world God loves so much. Teresa of Avila, a mystic from centuries ago, says it most clearly. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ compassion looks out on the world. Yours are the feet by which Christ goes about doing good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses all people now. My brothers and sisters, let us go from this place without fear, nourished by communion and community, to be the body of Christ in the world. My dear friends, you are an epiphany.